Chapter 14. Petra didn't attempt conversation with the nervous valet, and Coquette sulked by the door. Unable to bear her thoughts, Petra took out her rosary and sought true, deep prayer. She succeeded, and was a second late in responding to voices in the corridor. She met Fontaine's frightened eyes, and wished she, not he, had the pistol. At least the door was locked, and he'd be too terrified to open it. They both watched the handle press down, and the door move slightly against the lock. Petra went quickly to the window. Outside, everything looked normal. Should she call for help? No. The crucial thing was not to open the door. A knock. Petra gestured to Fontaine to answer. Yes? He asked. His voice pitched high. You will open this door, a male voice said, with such calm certainty that even Petra felt a twitch to obey. He spoke French with an Italian accent. She didn't know Vartz's voice, but she was sure it was him. She went quickly to Fontaine's side and whispered in his ear, Tell him he has the wrong room. You're sick. Tell him to go away. The valet obeyed, and in his terror sounded convincing. Petra relieved him of the pistol and cocked it. You will open this door, the man said, in the same level tone. Or I will castrate this man out here. Poic. Blessed Virgin! Fontaine exclaimed, hands to his head, then to his crotch. Devil incarnate, Petra muttered, suddenly short of breath. But she knew instantly her only choice. She put down the gun and went toward the door. Fontaine grabbed her and dragged her back. You must not, my lord said, you must not. Idiot, she spat, fighting to get free. You think he will not do it? Of course he won't. No one would. Damn you. She made a fist and struck at him as hard as she could. He let her go, howling and clutching his bloody nose. Petra raced to the door, crying, I'm coming! I'm coming! Don't hurt him! Her trembling, sweating hands fumbled the key, and she kept calling, I'm coming! I'm coming! She swung the door open, and there was Vartzi. Looking, if anything, politely bored at having been kept waiting. Poic sprawled on the floor, a long, lean man standing over him, sword drawn and pressing on his throat. What have you done to him? Petra asked, moving to kneel beside the man. Vartzi grasped her arm and pulled her up. Nothing too serious, Contessina, and he will regain consciousness soon. If we are still here, Marco will need to be more violent. He turned back toward the room, where Fontaine was whimpering and said, Be silent, or Marco will castrate you. Fontaine became silent. What did you do to him? Vartzi asked, perhaps amused. Petra answered the deeper question. He didn't believe you. A reputation is an invaluable thing. The man, Marco, knelt beside Poic. Petra wrenched against Vartz's grip. Don't you dare! He is forcing a little potion down him, that is all, to delay pursuit. So much better for everyone, don't you think? As long as you behave, Contessina, there will be no further hurt. Marco went into the bedroom. Fontaine objected, but then no doubt drank the potion. Vartzi was already drawing Petra down the narrow corridor, and she had no choice but to go. But white fur raced out of the room, yapping. Petra tried to turn, but not in time. Vartzi swung the tip of his cane, flipping Coquette against the wall. Yaps turned to yelps, and Petra knew that in a second the dog would be killed for making noise. She broke free and gathered her, saying, "Hush, hush!" To her astonishment, the trembling little creature went silent. Petra held her close, murmuring reassurance, wishing someone could do the same for her. She tried to return the dog to the room, but Vatsi grabbed her again and forced her down the corridor, around a corner, and into another room. Another man waited there, a bulkier man with a leering face. There was also a large trunk, its lid open. "Inside, if you please, Contessina," Vatsi said. "Pointless to quip, and if I don't please?" Petra couldn't leave Coquette with these men. The dog would bark again, and Vatsi would kill her without a thought. She had no choice but to take the dog with her as she climbed in and lay curled on her side. "Lucky Cock Robin," she thought sadly. "Rid of two bothersome females at once." And surely, she told herself as the lid came down, there will be an opportunity between here and Milan to escape. She rubbed the hard shape of the blade strapped to her thigh. Or opportunity to kill herself. Yes, she really would kill herself before allowing Ludovico Morcini to touch her again. Robin walked quickly back to the Renard, going over his plans. Poick and Fontaine would travel on the packet with the luggage, and he'd see if he could hire a couple to impersonate himself and Petra, at least as far as boarding. With any luck, the Milanese wouldn't realize they weren't there until the ship sailed. In Dover, they'd look for them in vain. He'd have to give his men careful instructions to avoid retribution. So many things to consider. So many dependents. He entered the Renard and saw Poick on the bottom of the stairs, head in hand, a cluster of people around him. Robin strode over. "What's happened?" His man looked up, then staggered to his feet, clinging to the post.
"Sir, sorry, sir."
Robin grabbed his arm to support him. "Where's my sister?"
"Gone, sir. Poison. Don't know. Threats. Fontaine."
His words were slurred and barely understandable.
"Open door."
Robin sat him back down again and raced upstairs, cursing himself every way possible. He should have set more guards. He should have stayed, or taken her with him, or... The door stood open, and Fontaine lay on the bed, pressing a bloody cloth to his face. A wide-eyed maidservant stood by.
"Punched on the nose, sir," she said to Robin. "Might be broken."
Thank God it wasn't worse. "Why did you open the door?" Robin demanded. The valet's eyes shot open as he tried to rise. Robin pressed him back down.
"Tried not to," he moaned. "She hit me."
Ice tightened Robin's back. "She did this?" The valet nodded.
"Insisted on opening the door."
Robin saw his pistol on the table. When he picked it up, he saw it was cocked and quickly uncocked it. It hadn't been fired. Her story had all been lies. But why? And if Vatsi were imaginary, who had attacked Poick? He'd damn well find her and find out.
"Poick?" Fontaine asked. "He is... all right?"
"They drugged him in some way, but he's recovering."
"Not injured?"
Fontaine persisted strangely. "No." The man sagged back.
"They drugged me too. Forced it down me. I feel sick."
"Will you be able to travel? If not, you can stay here." He surged up again.
"No, no, my lord. I will manage with God's help."
He'd slipped into calling him my lord, but Robin couldn't take him to task for it now. He looked around.
Where's Coquette?
I don't know, sir. She must have run away.
Rest for a while, Robin said, and went back downstairs, feeling infuriatingly impotent. He wanted to rip the town apart with his bare hands to find Petra Deverio, if that was her true name. But it wasn't a job for one man. In the entrance hall, he found the innkeeper. Le Mans, send for a doctor for my men.
I have, monsieur. He should be here at any moment. I have moved your man onto the chaise in the ladies' parlour. I have never known such scandal.
Robin found Poeck also being ministered to by a maid and recovering. He turned back to the innkeeper.
When did all this happen?
Just minutes ago, monsieur. Your man here staggered downstairs, crying abduction. That the lady, your sister, had been snatched away.
Did anyone see her taken?
No, monsieur.
But now I hear that two men carried a chest out through the side door not long ago. It is possible she was in it.
No one thought anything of it then.
Yes, I understand, Robin said.
So she might truly have been captured. Absurd to feel comforted by that, especially with no explanation for her opening the door.
Take care of my people, he told Le Mans. Someone, show me this side door.
It didn't tell him much. The door led from the stairs out into the inn yard, and it wouldn't be unusual for luggage to be carried down that way. He questioned some people who were gossiping there, but learned nothing new. Some thought the chest had been loaded on a cart, some into a carriage, some that it had been carried out. With the ship's loading, there had been many chests in motion. Then the two naval men rushed in.
"What's this I hear?" demanded Captain Galliard, eyes wild with outrage.
"They have her," said Robin, thinking quickly. "It's over an hour yet till anyone can sail. Can I trouble you to alert the harbour master that a woman has been abducted and might be smuggled onto a boat in a chest? And also to ask the officials here to barricade the roads so that they cannot carry her away?"
"Consider it done," said Galliard.
"Assuredly," said Worsley, and the two men hurried away.
Robin turned to a gossiping maidservant.
"Pass the word that I'll pay a handsome reward for news of my sister."
The woman hurried off too, and Robin returned to the inn.
"Can you find me some people to search through the town for these blackguards, Le Mans?"
"I can give you some of my men, and they'll know others."
Robin nodded.
"They're to report back here."
He went to Poeck, who glared up, furious with himself.
"Hit me, sir," he said, making a great effort to talk clearly. "But after, when I was coming round, they made me drink something. Woke up all wobbly."
A brisk young doctor came in, exclaiming rather excitedly at events. He examined Poeck, murmured various erudite things, and declared that he'd been forced to consume some noxious compound, but would probably recover. Robin rolled his eyes and sent him to Fontaine, but knew he'd return to report a bloody nose in complicated terms, designed to raise the bill. Robin dismissed the maid, then asked,
"Was it Fartsy?" "Like as not. Right sort. Him and a tall, wiry sort. Swordsman, I'd say."
"What about Petra?"
"She was there, when they made me drink."
"She helped them?"
"No, no, sir. She tried to help me, but then they dragged her away."
Thank God. Whatever the reason for her opening the door, it hadn't been some plan of hers.
"Take care," he told Poeck. "If you can, board the packet and bribe a couple of servants to imitate me and Petra. They can slip back off later. I'll be travelling another way."
"You be careful, lad. These aren't easy people. That tall one, he'd have spitted me as easily as he'd have spitted a chicken.
So I gather, Robin said, and went out into the hall.
No news yet?
He asked the innkeeper.
Not yet, monsieur, but they can't have gone far.
These are very cunning men.
Who are they, monsieur, and why abduct your sister?
Robin repeated the story of the fleeing nun. Le Mans, being Catholic, wasn't so completely outraged, but he agreed that nothing justified vicious attacks. Then a young lad burst into the inn and skidded to a halt before them.
At the Mouton Gris, monsieur, he gasped. A man dying, and they say it's a woman did it.